Texas Podcast Massacre contains spoilers and adult language. For more horror, visit us at our website at texaspodcastmassacre.com.
Welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre, coming to you from Houston, Texas. I'm your host, Mitch, and with me, as always, is the ghost face killer to my Sydney, Nate.
I still prefer the Babadook.
I don't want to hear about your bullshit prestige horror.
Elevated.
Elevated, of course.
Elevated horror.
I'm more into slashers. And, of course, our queen of unsuspecting victims, Lisa.
I'm Sydney Prescott. Of course I have a gun.
I mean, at that point, right? I mean, this is what, you know, after so many movies, you just got to get one.
Sydney's got a gun.
Bow. Oh, good old Aerosmith. Well, welcome to another episode of Texas Podcast Massacre.
That old Aerosmith, yep.
I don't know. Where each week we take a look at a different horror movie, may or may not have Aerosmith references to it. And we
in the saddle again.
In this movie. Yes. And I don't even know. I've just lost the thread of the intro. If this is your first time listening, welcome. It's something.
We're living on the edge.
Well, if this is your first time, it's probably your last time. So thank you for at least checking us out. Now, of course, this week we are going to be we're reviewing Scream. You know, the 2020, is it this year? I don't even know. You know, time is not a, time is not a real baby thing. It's all fake. Yeah, the 2022 latest installment. I remember we asked one of our previous unsuspecting victims to join, and they said, "Well, we already did Scream." And I'm like, "No, the new one." And they're like, "There's a new one." And I was like,
"And it's also called Scream." Hard pass.
So. So here we are. This one, you know, I think this came out in theaters. I can't remember why. I think we were going through Japanuary, right, when this came out. So,
yes,
you know, kind of hard to just like sneak in, totally break the theme. I mean, it's our show. I guess we could do whatever we want. But, you know, we don't have a lot of rules here. But for the rules that we do have, we feel like we got to follow them. And what if you're going to do rules? I mean, Scream is a horror movie. Built on the rules, right? The horror movie rules is what this franchise is built off of. So, you know, had to play by it. But here we are now talking about the latest Scream. Nate, did you get a chance to see this in theaters?
No, it just came out on digital. So I watched it digitally.
Nice. Yeah, Lisa and I were able to sneak away to see this one in theaters. Lisa, now, I know we'd watched the original. You really hadn't seen any of the other Scream. Well, no, I take that back. You saw the one that came before this.
We saw Scream 4 in the theaters together.
That's right.
A long time ago in a galaxy far, far away.
Oh, boy. I do not remember that.
So this is your second Scream movie in theaters and your third one overall that you've seen.
Sounds right.
I'm going to be curious, you know, I mean, obviously, there's a good bit of this is, you know, there's a lot of nostalgia with, you know, bringing back like David Arquette and Courtney Cox's characters. Some of, you know, Neve Campbell, obviously, some of the old mainstays. I'm going to be interested to hear how it sort of played for you, given that I think you've seen more of these more recently, at least for the first time. But overall, what was your excitement level walking into this movie?
Not high.
Not high. All right.
Now, no. Okay. Well, let me rephrase it. You've like in terms of excitement, like your pulse is like almost flatline when it goes to like excitement for horror movies. I'm just trying to get like a sense. Was it like a little bit higher than like a typical horror movie? Like, was there at least a little bit?
Let me put it to you this way.
Okay.
I saw this movie without knowing if we were going to do an episode on it or not. And I was still willing to go watch
it. That is the Lisa equivalent of waiting in line all day to get into the midnight release. Is that fair? That's like the unsuspecting victim equivalent of that. Like,
yes.
Let's do this. All right. Well, good. That's important. I wanted to set that baseline. So, no, that's great. So we're going to get into it. I'm excited to talk about this movie. But of course, before we do that, let's get into a little debate question.
Bid our father, the Sea King, rise from the depths full foul in his fury. Black waves teeming with salt foam to smother this young mouth with pungent slime.
I feel like we're never getting away from that. That's now the drop forever, for all eternity.
Yeah, I mean, what else would it be?
I don't know. I mean, maybe there will be something in the Northman.
Okay, yeah.
We'll just continue replacing it with different Robert Eggers.
Willem Dafoe's in the Northman. So you know he's going to have some weird, like, yeah, it's coming down. What, you know, it's going to be something like that. I don't know what.
You know, he hosted Saturday Night Live recently, Nate. I mean, I know you don't watch Saturday Night Live, but I'm curious. Would Willem Dafoe as the host bring you back into it?
Yes, that is appealing.
Okay.
I might go check that out.
Now, to be fair, I have heard nothing about it. I have not seen a skit, which is usually not a
That's not Willem Dafoe's fault.
No, but I'm just saying usually it just means that it may not be anything noteworthy. We'll see. I don't know.
Willem Dafoe's in it. I don't know what you had me at Willem.
There you go. All right, so Nate, do you have a debate question for us this week?
Yeah. Scream number 5. The fifth Scream.
I feel like I just like caught you off guard. You're popping the popcorn. You're popping the popcorn. You got the Jiffy Pop on the stove, and I mean someone's just trying to call you. You didn't even know you had a landline, and here we are. Go ahead.
Yeah. So basically we got 5 of these. Okay, we got 5. This is basically a Mitch question. Sorry, Lisa.
That's okay.
Best fifth movie in a franchise.
Oh my god. I gotta think how many different franchise. Oh my god. The best fifth movie in a franchise.
Yeah.
Oh my god.
Don't worry, Scary Movie did have a fifth movie. in 2013. I did check that just to be safe. Do you want me to go through the list of franchises?
Oh, I already got my answer. So you go ahead.
Well, okay, no, give me your answer.
No, I mean, go through. Go through yours because you're not going to say mine.
Oh, I'm not going to say yours. Okay. Well, you got, I don't think you're going to pick Friday the 13th, A New Beginning, are you?
No.
Okay. All right. Cause
and I'm not picking Leprechaun, which I know is your answer.
Oh, come on. No. Well, do you know what the fifth film in the Leprechaun franchise is?
It's In the Hood, which is a fantastic. I mean, okay, so let me ask you this. Are you asking me, like, which franchises are the ones where the fifth is the best one in the franchise? Like, in the franchise?
No, just the best fifth movies.
Oh, the best. Okay, yeah. So, no.
Because once you get to 5, you're just like, look, what? Come on. Dream Child?
In the Hood.
Yeah, Dream Child.
In the Hood is great. But they're better.
Great. I like that the word great was used. I'm saying
to your point, by the time you get to the fifth movie, the franchise, it's slim pickings. So
you can never take that back. That's fair. Great film. All right. That's good.
Comparatively.
I was going to highlight that obviously on the Leprechaun side. What is the one that you have that you wanted to pick?
I feel like you should know this. You should know me well enough. But let's be real. Puppet Master 5, The Final Chapter.
Oh, who gives a shit?
Great. That's the one where they have a face turn and they're good guys trying to kill this like weird demon puppet thing.
They're good guys, they would have never came back.
Well, I mean, that may be right, but although I think maybe they were good in Puppet Master 4. Like, I think I can only remember when I look at, oh yeah, they became good guys in 4, and then 5 was a follow-up. Oh, maybe it's 4 that I'm thinking of. I might have to take my answer back.
Uh-oh. Who could forget the classic Puppet Master films? How could you possibly forget that?
Well, so to be fair, 4 and 5, fairly similar. Like, 4 did, I think 4 did well, so they're like, oh, cool, we'll do 5 and basically be the same movie. Just a more evil demon doll thing.
Purge Forever War was a 5th movie in the franchise we watched last year, if you recall that.
That wasn't terrible. Well,
it wasn't terrible.
Terrible.
I was hoping. I thought you might go with something like Paranormal Activity. And I'm like,
No. They got so
please
bad.
Please don't. Okay. That, I just wanted to make sure.
No, come on.
There's a lot of Wrong Turn movies. I did not realize there's that many Wrong Turn movies, which is, I don't think I've ever seen Wrong Turn. So I have no clue about that. What do you think about Seed of Chucky?
I actually have never seen that one.
Oh, okay. You've never seen that.
I don't like that.
Our namesake, and Lisa, you've seen none of these, right?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm just over here saying that you. No, mine is Harry Potter. I mean, come on. Order of the Phoenix.
That's one way to do it.
That's on brand for me.
You know, they just requeled, which I learned from this movie, the phrase requel. I never heard that before. They requeled Texas Chainsaw Massacre, but that's not the first requel that has happened. 2003's Texas Chainsaw Massacre with Jessica Biel.
Ugh.
Really?
Made over $100 million. So you can ugh all you want.
Jeez.
It did well. That was one of the 2000, like early 2000s horror reboots that actually did fairly decently, unlike Nightmare on Elm Street and Friday the 13th and a million other ones.
Man, there's not that many that got to 5. I feel like there were a lot more, but it doesn't seem like it.
I mean, okay, I guess we can count Alien. Alien's got 5. Saw's got 5 for sure.
No, Saw 5. I mean, I don't.
Yes,
the
exactly.
The problem with those middle Saws is like, 5, I don't. They all run together. So many of these movies all run together too. Like, I'm trying to even remember what notably happened in the 5th movie and like half these franchises. Dream Child is probably the most distinct one, right? Like, I don't know that it's not better than 3 or 4 even. Like,
well, did Freddy go to the hood? Probably not good enough to make the cut on this one.
No, he didn't. And then Halloween 5 is not.
Halloween 5 is not as bad as Halloween 6.
No, that's fair.
So there's that, you know, but yeah, it's not. I mean, it's interesting because the Halloween 5 is like a two-parter, right? Basically after, you know, it was a two-parter, Halloween 1 and 2, then the amazingness of 3, and then 4 or 5 are together, right? Then 6, I mean, you got Paul Rudd, but it's garbage. And then they had to go off and do the Halloween H2O and reboot, you know, kind of deal after that. Cause it was like, we ran this into the ground. I might go Leprechaun in the Hood, like for real. That might be the number one for me.
Ugh. Really?
I was gonna say Hellraiser, but Hellraiser, I don't remember the fifth one, Hellraiser. I have no clue.
I don't know. We'll get there. Look, this has Scream has a low bar to be like the best 5th movie in the franchise.
I'm just saying.
If we're sitting here arguing between Puppet Master 5 and Leprechaun in the Hood, Scream, it shouldn't be this hard.
So I am not a good, I'm not a huge fan of this movie at all. And it's like a prequel in the sequel. I don't really care. But Prometheus is the 5th movie in Alien, right?
Now.
1, Aliens, 3, Resurrection, right? And then Prometheus, and then obviously the first ever episode of this podcast, Alien Covenant. So Prometheus is the 5th one in Alien. I just couldn't stand that film.
No, I didn't like. I did not.
Not even. It's not even part of the. I'd rather watch the Texas Chainsaw Massacre, Jessica Biel, than
Well, and like, okay, what about, I mean, do you count the entire WandaVerse as like sequels, right? Like, or
no, I don't think so.
That seems cheap.
I don't think so.
I think I am going to stick. I mean, is it sacrilege to say that I prefer Puppet Master 5 over Dream Child?
No.
That seems weird. It seems weird.
No.
Like, it seems weird to say that out loud. Someone is screaming at their radio right now.
And it's great that they're like casting the podcast from their device to a physical radio. Also, that takes a lot of dedication. So that person could be. I mean, Freddy's Dead is better than Dream Child, in my personal opinion. Way more Goo Goo Dolls, bumping up the equation.
Yeah,
quite a bit.
I don't. Yeah, that's a problem. By the fifth one, I really don't remember a whole lot happening. I'm gonna go with Puppetmaster 5. That's what I'm gonna go with. Lisa.
Wow,
Lisa. Now you've only seen The Littlest Reich, which is not even.
I've seen the first two, I think.
Which I feel like is not even like a Puppetmaster movie.
It was barely a movie.
Oh, that's fair.
I don't. You can just take Puppet Master.
Right, we may have to watch Puppet Master 4. No, yeah. Give us a 5-star review.
Oh, Mitch is making that never happens.
And recommend one of the early Puppet Masters, preferably 4 or 5, but I'm good with 3 as well. Let me just tell you right now, like,
Nate, let me rap with you for a bit.
Sit down, kids. Let Dad rap. WTF? Why the face? The point is, Nate has built a career out of just tormenting people with garbage movie picks. Like, if it's a terrible film, he's going to make it do it. This is how you take the power back, everyone. Make Nate watch something you know he's going to not enjoy whatsoever. That's
Puppet Master's probably high up there. Yeah.
Yeah.
I agree.
This is how we win, as Adam Sandler would say in Uncut Gems. So leave us that 5-star review. Honestly, I'll take a 3-star review and put that on there.
I don't think that's allowed.
You can do it anywhere. Hell, you know, just show us that you shared the Spotify link on like your social media somewhere. We'll accept that.
Wow.
Anything to stick it to Nate
looking at it again. Diary of the Dead is the fifth Night of the Living Dead movie. I mean, that's, I'm not, I was not.
Yeah, I know. I looked at this too. I'm like, no.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I'm going to go Leprechaun. I feel good about that.
Lisa, how do you feel about those?
Have you seen any of the ones we've mentioned? Have you seen Prometheus?
I don't think I did it for the podcast with you guys.
No, that was Alien Covenant. Yeah. That was the.
But you did see Prometheus.
Yeah, I saw Prometheus.
Okay. So that's.
Of all the ones y'all have mentioned, I probably like Prometheus the best.
Okay. There you go. I don't even remember what Saw 5 was about. I couldn't even tell you.
Yeah.
No, Saw 3 to like 7. I have no.
But look, do you remember what Saw 5 was about? Let us know at TX Podmasker on Twitter, Texas Podcast Masker everywhere, Texas Podcast Masker at gmail.com. If you like to email, you know, we'll read that email potentially.
We'll read mail. Give us a call without, ideally not Puppet Master related, but you know what? At this point, I'm okay with it. 346-246-3143. That spells out Puppet Master and the numbers. Don't check it. stealth move. Let us know. Give us a call. Let us know what you think about Scream. It's now available digitally. Let us know what you think about the Puppet Master franchise and your favorite fifth movie, which, if you're a reasonable person, it's probably Leprechaun. So.
If you're a reasonable person, it's
reasonable
Leprechaun.
Person.
I don't understand how. Yeah, I've got so many questions just on that. But
the reason is Leprechaun.
I thought you were going to bust out into like.
I believe that was a Who mistake.
Yeah, I was saying, original. There's been a lot of
the original lyrics, but they were singing it. They were singing it, obviously, to the character of the Leprechaun. Right?
Sorry.
Or singing to Warwick Davis specifically. Either way, I'm pretty sure Who mistake was deep into that at that point.
Look, none of us are perfect people. Can we move on?
I mean.
If we have Aerosmith to Who mistake, I don't know if that's a lateral move or.
This is terrible. Is there going to be a Hootie and the Blowfish reference in this episode? I don't want to just shoehorn one in there like I'm clearly trying to, but that's.
I don't know what's happening.
Oh, we're just hitting all these. Hold on. Nate, real quick, because I just got to. I mean, you're going to tell me. Listen, the puppets battle their most powerful enemy yet as they protect their new master from the demon god that created the secret of life. How is that not like
the secret of life?
Well, yeah, because of how the dolls all come to life.
That's a James Taylor song. What is this? Is like the second James Taylor reference you've made very recently. I don't know. I do want to miss a thing, and it's that movie.
I mean. Taglines, puppets versus an all new evil. It's not even a good tagline.
You're reverse pitching this. If we're in an elevator together, you tell me this. I hope the elevator crashes. That's basically where we're at this point.
I'm looking on IMDb. There are people who've given this movie 10 stars. That's absurd.
10 stars?
Yeah. That is absurd. There's only 2 1-star reviews. That's how you know the only people who watch this are people who are like, just love this franchise.
Who's watching like right. 5 through 12 of Puppet Master? No one.
Oh my God. Please 5-star review this baby and give us Puppet Master 4 or 5. I'll take 3 too. They're all 3 has a lot more Nazis in it. So, you know, do you want to make Nate watch Nazis or the puppets fighting some demon thing? None of it makes sense. I want to watch it with you, Nate. I just want to watch you. I want to watch you watch the movie. I don't want to watch the movie. I just want to watch you watch the film. That's where I'm at with this right now.
That sounds like a threat. I don't know. It's like, I'm watching you. What? Could we talk about Scream, please? I never thought I'd be clamoring to talk about Scream. Let's talk about Scream.
You know what? Like Puppet Master, I'm here to grant your wish, to breathe life into this. And, we're going to go with this week's movie of the week, Scream.
Hello?
It's happening.
3 attacks so far. Do you have a gun?
I'm Sydney Prescott. Of course I have a gun.
Something about this one just feels different.
Samantha? I know who you are. I've been through this. A lot. This is your life now, which means that whoever this is going to keep coming for you. You ready for this? Never.
No, son. Wait.
There are certain rules to surviving.
The attacks were all on people related to the original killers. Whatever his link is to our past, it's pulled us all back here. And I won't sleep until he's in the ground. Look out!
Hello, Sydney. It's an honor.
There you go, Nate. Scream 2022. Lisa, what is this movie about? What is the elevator pitch for this?
Money. No. It's
no.
It's basically all of the relatives of the original victims get terrorized again by a new ghost face.
Yeah. All right. That is it.
Yeah, that's it. Nate, what are you going to tell us about Scream?
Scream, first movie of 2022 for the podcast. Came out January 14th. Hour 14 minutes, didn't feel too long, I would say. So that's good. 6.8 IMDb. Hey, we're getting up there. We got 25 years and 25 days after the original movie came out. This movie comes out. So when they pushed it back for COVID, they're like, all right, let's go at 25. So December 1996, January 2022, 25 years. Pretty crazy. The directors, Matt Bettinelli Olpin and Tyler Gillette. You may remember them from Ready or Not. So Lisa, this was their movie after Ready or Not. And they also did the segment 10/31/98 in VHS. So those are the previous two movies that we've done
fun fact on the podcast. About Ready or Not, it's one of the few movies, the only movie that we've done for this podcast where I went and saw it by myself.
Oh, that's right. That's right.
Yeah, could not find a babysitter, so we took it in shifts, and I went by myself. So,
and you like that movie?
It was good. That's a good one. If folks need a recommendation, they should definitely watch that one.
Already not recommending this movie.
Hey, check out the last one. I'm not going to give it away yet, but
we got Neve Campbell. Previous episode, Scream. We've only done one. We can go back and do the rest. Maybe. doesn't sound like there's a lot of that. She's going to be in a Lincoln Lawyer TV series. The reason I bring up Lincoln Lawyer is because we did a conversation about Cabin Fever in the Aftershock episode where there was a choice between two movies at a point in time. And my friend punched me when we picked Cabin Fever over Matchstick Men. Similar scenario for this movie. Lincoln Lawyer came out the same time as Zack Snyder's Sucker Punch. And all the beer you can sneak into a movie theater could not make Sucker Punch a good movie. So 0-2, but Lincoln Lawyer now is a TV series. So I hope Sucker Punch now is a TV series that I can watch instead of it. We got Courtney Cox. She is going to be in a TV show called Shining Vale on Stars, Mitch's favorite TV network. Looks like it's Courtney Cox and Greg Kinnear in a house where terrible things have happened and she becomes possessed.
Interesting.
Okay. We also got, of course, David Arquette, previous episode, Mitch's favorite movie of the podcast. Maybe Spree. Is that your favorite one, Mitch?
I mean, I liked it. I liked it a lot.
And your all-time favorite movie, Ready to Rumble. And Eight-Legged Freak. So he's basically in your top three movies of all time, David Arquette. that's a Sophie's choice.
I mean, right?
Ready to Rumble or Eight-Legged Freaks.
If you want to watch a movie that just absolutely did not age well, Ready to Rumble is that movie.
Your favorite.
Rose McGowan's in that film, Nate.
Yeah, I like Rose McGowan. Melissa Barrera in this movie, Sam, the main character. Not the top build character, but the main character, is, she's blowing up this year. She's in The Heights with Lin-Manuel Miranda. She's going to play Carmen from the classic opera Carmen. And she's in a horror movie, Lisa. I want to hear your take on this. She's in a horror movie called Bed Rest coming out this year. A pregnant woman on bed rest begins to wonder if her house is haunted or it's all in her head. How interested are you in that
movie? Oh my goodness.
I knew you would hate it.
Yeah.
That sounds tailor-made for you. So get ready for that. That sounds
horrible.
TBD. Oh, nope. It's coming out in July. Yes. July. Pretty close. So that sounds tailor-made for you to just absolutely despise that. We got Jack Quaid, probably best known as Huey from The Boys, I would say.
Oh, yeah. Great show.
Oh, yeah. I'm very excited about all the people in this movie. I'm just going to go through them all. Mikey Madison, who in this film was Amber, was in the Addams Family as Candy the Barista in the animated Addams Family movie. She was Sadie in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood. It was basically a murderous hippie. And she was in a film that I liked called Monster. Not that monster. Okay. And not the other monster. It's like the third monster that I know. It was a good movie, I promise. We got Jenna Ortega, her sister in the film, Tara. You might remember her from The Babysitter Killer Queen.
Yep.
As one of the main characters. You can see her in the just released Studio 666 with the Foo Fighters. You can catch her later this year in the movie X, horror film, the latest one from Ty West, who did, one of the best horror films. Well, actually, Mitch, you didn't even like that, did you?
Which one?
You don't remember the Ty West horror film?
I'm blanking on
his best horror film.
Which one are you talking about? Yeah, I clearly just blocked it out of my head. Which? What are you talking about? Worm? No. Where am I?
It's okay.
No, what was the movie? Just say what the movie was again.
Well, I was implying it was Your Next. But I was really going to say Cabin Fever 2, Spring Fever.
Oh, my 2009. God.
I was trying to set you up, and you didn't help me at all. You really,
no wonder. Wow. I was so confused. I'm like, what are you talking about?
I tried to set you up, and it just did not work. You could not remember.
My bad.
Which is a great film. And Jenna Ortega is going to be on Netflix coming in 2022, the voice of Wednesday Addams. In her years as a student, when she attempts to master her emerging psychic abilities, Wednesday. Lisa, how excited for you are this?
Yeah, that's going to be pretty good, I think.
Yeah, there you go. So she's hitting all the horror things.
Oh,
she's in a Scream. She's got Foo Fighters. She's got Ty West. And she's Wednesday Addams' voice in a TV series.
No, she's not. She's not the voice. It's a live action, dude.
Wait, I thought it was animated.
No.
It's live action
directed by Tim Burton.
Oh my God. I didn't. How did I not see that?
I'm even more excited now.
Luis Guzman is Gomez.
I like that. I'm okay with that.
Yeah, I like Luis Guzman too. I'm just Gwendolyn Christie is in there as someone.
I thought it was animated for some reason. I suck. Oh, Tim Burton too?
Catherine Zeta-Jones as Morticia.
Could be good.
Oh my gosh, really?
Yeah.
All right, Lisa is excited. Well, thanks for that.
I'm all in, Mitch, on this.
Oh. Dylan Minnette.
That's what I was looking up while you were going on about whatever like layup you were trying to give me, and it didn't work.
Thanks for that.
You're welcome.
Dylan Minnette from Let Me In, the Let the Right One In American version, which is not as good, but still okay. Plays the character Wes, obviously named after Wes Craven, who passed away between the fourth and fifth movies. You might remember him from Don't Breathe. And Goosebumps. So there's that. We got Jasmine Savoy Brown, who you might remember and who I finally placed as one of the characters in Spider-Man Miles Morales video game on PS5. Highly recommend it. She plays Finn, if you caught that one, Mitch.
I mean, no, I didn't catch her voice.
And she's in your TV show all the time. So there you go.
Oh, she's Taisa. Yeah. Yep.
I know you like Yellow Jackets.
God, Yellow Jackets is so good. Why are we doing an episode on that? That's fine.
Because we're not. And last, we got Marley Shelton, who you might remember as Dr. Dakota Block in Planet Terror. So there you go. I like the people in the movies maybe more than the movie. That was Ben. I think we just gave Lisa like six things to watch. That could be an all-time record. Lisa's excited about more than one thing coming from this episode. That could be a record.
If we had this cast to interview them, Lisa would want to interview them about all the other things they're working on. one.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, Scream's nice, but let's talk about Wednesday.
Yeah, really. Taglines for the movie is, the killer is on this poster. Okay, that's different. It's always someone you know, and don't see it alone. So those got progressively worse. Yeah, Scream. It's a requel. It's a sequel, restarting, reboot sequel. I don't know what to tell you. Overall thoughts. Cool. Yeah. Overall thoughts. What do you guys think? It's been, so it was Scream 96, 97, right? All those 96, 97, 98, I Know You Did Last Summer. Everything got like a real quick sequel, right? 2000, the third one, probably my least favorite. Scream 4, 11 years after 2011. Now 11 years again, 2022 Scream. So two films in the last 22 years. So they're definitely taking their time. What do you guys think about this one?
Lisa, would you like to go first?
Great movie or the greatest movie?
It was good.
Okay.
I like what they did with it. We know very well, it's very difficult to requel something. And the one that we saw previous to this Halloween really messed up. So,
well, that was the sequel to the requel.
Yeah, I just not okay. Great.
We're in Inception.
We haven't seen the new Texas Chainsaw Massacre yet, but I've heard that's terrible. But I was never going to like that one, no matter what they did. This one, I think, pulled it off. But I think it's probably because this franchise has always been pretty good about being a little bit meta and a little bit of poking fun at itself. So that played really nicely in this one. Yeah, there was a Ghostface killer and a lot of people got hurt and murdered, but they did a good job of keeping the humor element in it for the whole movie.
Okay.
Did I just shock you guys in the silence?
How is it different than previous episode Rubber is my question. Because they're like the same movie.
I mean, really?
What are we even talking about here? Yeah.
The same movie? Basically. Everything just happens for no reason.
I mean, kind of in some of the parts. I think we're going to have different takes on this. I'm kind of excited, actually.
Oh, man.
All right.
Oh, you didn't like it, Nate, huh?
Here we go. Now, what look, there's just so many sequels and stuff. I mean, just saying and like poking fun at it is fine, but then you're just still doing it,
But did you like it more or less than the last Halloween we just watched?
Well, it's clearly better than the last Halloween.
Well, there you go.
But I did not care for that at all. So I don't know if that's a good comparison, but no, it's just, I don't know. Just they had to bring all the characters back always. So I don't like the Marvel stuff. It's like tie everything in. It's just like, there's just a lot of this.
Here's the problem. This movie was not made for us. Okay. Because we're old enough to have seen the original. This is made for a new generation who probably may not ever go back and watch the original because they can't relate to it. We can relate to both kind of because we're in that weird generation that had landlines. Now we don't have landlines. We're kind of in that transitional generation, but I feel like this is for the new batch of teenagers that it's just a different world for them.
That sounds good. Just make different movies then that aren't Scream. And then that can be their movie and then make a couple sequels on that. Sounds good.
Well, and I don't know that I fully agree with that.
With what?
I don't think this film was for new, like the new generation of horror people. I mean, I think there's some of that.
It's trying to pull in both sides, probably, because that's what gets you the most money.
So, yeah, it know, is there, because that. They brought the original cast back. So
I think this movie. I'm somewhere in between you two. I think this movie works best when you think of it more in terms of like effectively like a love letter to Wes Craven, who was the original creator of Scream and frankly, some of the other great horror films, right? I mean, icon in horror films, right? I think this movie works really well when dissecting the requels trend and kind of going through that. I think this movie doesn't work well in that it does basically rehash the first one. And there's a lot of the same points and yeah, to Nate, I think to your point, it's one thing to sort of be meta about it and mention it and call out all those things, but then to also fall in the trap of doing it is different. You know, I think the original Scream did a very good job of calling those things out, calling out the rules, really kind of doing the wink and nod to the audience. Like, yeah, these are all the stupid things that everyone does in horror movies. So we're going to make that. And then we're not going to have our characters necessarily do that. Although those situations will be here. Right. You know,
some of the time we'll do a fake out. Right. And some of the time it'll still happen. Like that, you know, it's a 50-50, right?
Yeah. I think what I really appreciated of this is that I did like the fact that it wasn't like this kind of cynical meta, right? Where it's like, it's just not fun. It's very much like bitching about what horror movies are, right? Like it's really kind of leaning into the whole requel thing, but it's not like tedious with it. Yeah, some of the murders and some of the stuff that happens in it. Yeah, it's obvious they're just like falling into those same traps. Some of it, I'll say, is a little bit more predictable than I would have liked. Like, I think I wrote it down and I think at the end I was like, oh, that'd be dumb if it's that. And I'm like, oh, I guess it is that. Oh, okay. Well, there's that. Yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. You know what? I'm so far removed from when I first saw the original Scream at this point. And there's been, I mean, and let's be real, right? We are 25 years from the original yep. Scream,
yep.
Which I hate saying out loud. How many films have really followed that formula? So now that it all feels kind of played out. Right, the being meta, doing
but Mitch,
all that
you managed to not run out of the theater on this one.
Well, I did. I'm very proud of myself. I've come a long way in 25 years. Yeah. thanks. Yeah, my brother. Yeah. That was one that, you know, that opening sequence was terrifying. This one, not so much. Although I appreciate this one. You know, I think the things that I liked about it, right. I really did. Like, let's talk about the opening sequence. Because, okay, when I was a kid, and I think even today, that is one of the most truly terrifying opening sequences in a movie. It's perfect. It is perfect shot for shot done, right? The fact that you would bring in an A-list movie star that you would basically kill her off in, like, the first 5 minutes with Drew Barrymore, that you have this whole terrorizing thing with the whole, you know, what's your favorite scary movie, that you are actually doing the trivia stuff. Perfection. There's not a much better cold opening for a horror movie than Scream. With this one, I really did enjoy sort of the banter and back and forth about the different horror movies. That, like, you have someone here who does the horror movies, but it's like, they're very specific about, no, I just like these kinds. I only like the prestige horror films or the, you know, the ones with the message. And, you know, they're almost getting into that whole back and forth of, you know, just
I'm firmly on the elevated horror side of that debate. That was me answering the phone.
Like, I know.
The witch.
That was me calling.
The witch was mentioned in this movie.
Yeah.
The witch was mentioned in this movie. That she mentioned witch.
I know. I could feel
Hereditary.
I could feel Lisa's eyes rolling when she heard the witch. I could just feel it.
Elevated.
I almost walked out.
Right. I know you're the one to walk out this time at the opening. I really love that. I love that exchange. I thought it was real smart and it was, again, a fun nod to what the movie's about. Versus, like, they could have just as easily had her play, like, dumb. Like, oh, I don't like horror movies. You know? Because in the original, Drew says she likes horror movies, right? It's kind of the thing, like, oh, yeah, I like horror movies. But she's not, like, deeply obsessed fan. I like the idea that in this one, she's not deeply obsessed, but she, like, she wants to, you know, there's a difference between just watching slashers to some degree and more of the gore ones versus the ones with, like, the message and the deeper meaning and that the horrors. I like that. I like those type of nods that, and they exist throughout the movie. I think where the movie kind of falls flat for me was just, I think it in most of just the normal plot story.
Right? Yeah. I would say in this film, there was a lot of Easter eggs. They had a coat hanging up that looked like the Babadook too. I don't know if you noticed that. Mm-hmm. There was a lot of Easter eggs. There was a framed picture of Jamie Kennedy on a wall. Jimmy Kennedy's character.
Yep.
Come on. Yep. Did we really have to go that deep into the lore? Like, that's someone's uncle. What is that? Who gives a Why do we have to bring the nieces and nephews of Jamie Kennedy's character killed in 1997? I just hate to stretch for that stuff. I don't care for that.
I expect my niece and nephew to frame a photo of me if something ever happens to me in their living room
killed,
as well.
So you killed I'm by a serial murderer.
All for it. Yeah.
You killed by a serial murderer in a nondescript white van at college. Scream too. There you go. Yeah. I would say there's more Easter eggs than there is scary moments in the movie. That's really my main.
I was okay with that.
Yeah, and that's maybe why Lisa's liking it more. The film was not scary in any way. Almost. My main gripe with the film is that there's just no scares.
Well, you know, and sorry, I didn't mean to jump in there at the end. I guess, let me ask you that real, another debate question for the episode. I'm not doing the drop again, Lisa. Don't worry. We won't hear Willem Dafoe. But real debate question. Are slashers scary anymore? When was the last time you saw a good slasher film that scared you? They're so reliant on jump scares and usually gore. I don't know what else you do. And I think that's almost to a point, right? I mean, I thought what they were trying to set up was the fact that you have this. I mean, it's kind of set up even with the elevated horror that's about something versus just a slasher film, right? Is this a slasher film that's about something to some degree?
No. I'm trying to think of like a slasher film. I'm trying to think of a slasher film.
Well, maybe that's like, never that. Okay.
How about this? How about so a slasher film that was like actually scary-ish? What about like a Hush?
Really a serial killer.
It's not. Well, it's a serial killer. Yeah, it's a serial killer.
Yeah.
But they turned it right. You know, by having her be deaf, right, and having those challenges. You know, they tweaked it. But I would say that guy was pretty scary. You know, was scary.
Yeah.
It's hard to think of, but yeah, current one. You're right. It's not. It's hard to think. Maybe. Is Candyman count? I don't know.
Is the new remake trying to be more elevator? I honestly, I think that's a lot of the point is what the elevated horror versus a classic slasher is trying to do the line. Now, I don't necessarily think it did it as well as it could have, or as well as like the first film did.
You have to follow along.
Yeah.
That's why I just like, you know, one-off movies like a Babadook, like a Witch, because it's just one-off. There's not going to be a sequel. You have no clue what's going to happen at the end. Yeah, you know, there was a kill in this that was like, oh, the stakes are higher, you know, kind of a kill in this movie. But then even that was kind of played out. I don't know. Maybe I'm just sick of sequels at this point.
I don't think you're wrong. And I don't think Lisa's like I said, I'm kind of somewhere in the middle here.
Mitch, pick a side.
Don't pick a side. No,
pick a side.
I don't know. So, I mean, you know, some of the, I mean, we talk about these kids, right? So this new generation, we'll talk about the original cast member showing up, but let's talk about this new generation, right?
There's a Jamie Kennedy character. There's a, you know, yeah. They have, there's like the archetypes are very similar.
And I don't know that they did enough to make them stand out differently, right? Because there's the Neve Campbell, the new Neve Campbell. There's the new,
you know, the new Rose McGowan character, basically. Right.
I don't feel like they did enough beyond the fact that your main lead, so Sam Carpenter, is Billy Loomis's like sister. Is that right?
No.
What?
Daughter. Sorry. What am I thinking? Yes, daughter. God. I'm sorry. It's been.
If she's the same age as Skeet Ulrich, she looks great.
Could have been like a half sister. I can remember. There's so many familial relations.
That's a deep half sister. That's like deep.
There's so many nieces and nephews and half sisters and half the.
And that's again. It's like I'm your second cousin once removed. Oh shit! That's the killer. What? Oh, come on. What are we even
like Spaceballs?
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. I don't know. There was that whole back and forth where like she's seeing Billy Loomis talking to her and cause she's worried that she's also crazy, but I don't feel like they ever fully like more than a superficial level explore that or do anything with it, which I feel like was a missed opportunity with this. Right. You know, that would have been a way to have, I think made this more pushed this more into that elevated thing. Like you could have had the slasher stuff happening, but then also this sort of back and forth in her head with Billy Loomis a little bit more.
That was the most interesting part of the movie for me.
Yeah.
Skeet Ulrich and random Skeet Ulrich in via vision. Okay. But that's a different way to do that. I'm all right with that.
Yeah. What'd you think about that part, Lisa?
Yeah. I mean, I thought it was good. This is not a non-spoiler version, right?
Oh yeah, no we're spoiling. This it's out on digital now. You can watch it. We're good.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, they kind of try and do the fake out, make you think that she's going crazy and she's going to follow in his footsteps. But I thought it was good. It was a little bit awkward just because he seems like a proud dad. He's like, yeah, get that knife because you're my daughter and you can stab people. So it's a little weird, but I was just glad she wasn't the killer. I was like, oh, that would have been bad.
Yeah.
I called one of the killers off the jump.
Yes.
Yeah, I did. I got one of the two for sure.
Which one?
Not know the second one. All right. Well, we're spoiling it, right? So.
Yeah, I mean, I got
the boy. The boy I knew from the jump.
Let's hear it for the boy. Oh, actually, that's funny. I got the girl.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
This is where I was like, oh, this is really disappointing. Because they're showing it and they're like, oh, we're outside your best friend's house, right? And then like the next day, the best friend's like, fine, nothing's happened. I'm like, the killer really let the best friend just like leave, even though. They broke through. Like, no, the friend's in on it. It was like
Tara got stabbed 10,000 times and was injured, but basically fine later on in the movie. Like that's not right.
Now to be fair,
that's not right. That was a lot of stabs.
Yeah. To be fair, the boyfriend being it was what I thought was disappointing. I was okay with the friend being involved, but like the boyfriend was just like, it was such the obvious thing. And they spent so much time on it. And effectively, it's the same thing as Scream. It's the boyfriend. And then they just told the same thing. So, I
called it from the jail. I'm like, that's him. It's him. It's the old guy. He saw the original, right? I'm like, okay, the old guy's it. That's for sure. Right. Lock that in. I did not guess correctly in the friend group. So, it wasn't super telegraphed.
Yeah.
Lisa, did you get either of them?
I bounced back and forth. At one point, I thought it was them, but then I was like, I don't know. So it wasn't shocking by any stretch.
What about the kills, though? Because you're saying it wasn't scary, right? And you said you liked the movie. But some of the kills...
You're the one that said it wasn't scary. I never said that.
Well, you said you kind of liked it because there wasn't like... It wasn't like a lot of scares. Maybe that's maybe the way to say it. But there were some brutal kills. No,
I liked it because they kept it humorous. But it was... There was... For me, there was still scary. Like, I cannot stand...
Face kills.
Well... I cannot, the guy, I don't remember anyone's names, but the one whose mother was killed, sheriff
guy.
Yeah. So when he's literally walking through the house and they keep doing that thing where they open the door, then they close the door, then they open the door and then they close the door. And I'm like, oh my God, this, it made me so tense. I was like, just either end this scene or have the killer be there because I can't have him open another door and close it again. So I wasn't thrilled with stuff like that. I can't remember a lot of the kills. Dewey got killed pretty savagely.
It was like
pretty bad.
Double gut, like
T's and P's.
Front and back gut? I don't know.
Yeah.
And then he like shoots him with the gun and reloads the gun only to go like an inch away from the guy's. Like, what is happening?
I know.
I could not stand that. I was going crazy.
I just think David Arquette's like, okay, I need to be done with this franchise. Just kill me so that there's no chance of me coming back. Kill.
I need to go to the spree too.
I'm done.
Yeah, that was something. I would say this. Neve Campbell was a standout. Neve Campbell was pretty badass and cool in her limited role. She was only in the movie a little bit, but I would say
yeah, she solid. Did good.
Mm-hmm. Well, don't worry. She's probably going to be back for Scream 6, officially greenlit a few weeks ago. So,
you're joking.
Yeah, there you go. Production
they're out of relatives. What?
I'm saying your second cousin once removed is the killer. That's going to be it. Remember when we went to the family reunion and you never talked to me? Boom. That's going to be one of the lines in the film. I don't know. Are they going to have like some sort of deal with like ancestry.com or something? I don't know. There's going to be something. I'm not sure what it
20
is.
20 Scream and me.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know if I like that very much.
You should. You shouldn't.
But yeah, it's like, that's why I don't like the whole, like, it has to be tied. Like, I don't know, just make another movie. This movie was one of the better sequels, I will say, right? I mean, we listed a lot of sequels. I mean, come on, Dream Child, In the Hood. I mean, this is an actual film with some money behind it, you know, like it wasn't.
Yeah, it's right out there at Puppet Master 5. I agree.
Very similar films. For sure. I mean, this movie had only a $24 million budget, made over 130 in the theaters. Clearly, you know, a 6-1 makes a lot of sense with those numbers. But it's not like it was a huge, you know, it's just these are just well-made movies, right? But even with that, it's just like, man, when John Carpenter, when they were like going with the Halloween 3, you know, right? Like the anthology type series. I would love to see a Scream anthology type movie set up. I think the Ghostface killer thing could lend itself to that. Then you could stretch and try new stuff, right? I would love to see something like that rather than like, you got to trot out everybody. You got to make sure Jamie Kennedy is one of the uncles. You got to try to like, I mean, that was
you want a Freddy's Nightmares, but for Ghostface.
The guy died when he was like 20 something years old. And then the lady who played the mom character for those two of the main characters in the film is like 12 or 13 years older than them. She's like in her 30s or something. It didn't make any sense. I don't know what was happening there. Yeah, they had to really just shoehorn a lot of that kind of stuff. Did not care for it. As much. I wish they could make a Ghostface movie that was just like, you know, maybe there was a copycat in another town. Boom. Even that would be interesting, I think, because then you wouldn't have to, you could kind of stretch a little farther and do some different stuff. Maybe that's number 6. You know, I could be wrong here. So maybe
Yeah, I mean,
that's it. I don't know. I mean, Scream's even got a TV. They had a TV series. They had all kinds of stuff. I mean, I guess they already tried that. Maybe that's where they got to do that. I never watched it, so I can't tell you. But
I don't know, though. I mean, one last thing before we get through to the end of this. It's just, you know, I obviously a big point of this movie was just around toxic fan bases, right? And really about
yeah.
Well, and really about, I mean, the whole thing is that like these people, the their motivation was that they hated this, like one of the sequels because of it's wildly divergent. You
okay,
know.
Now let's talk about the movie within the movie, Stab 8. Now that was a highlight for me.
That was
that
great.
Trailer on
yeah,
YouTube,
well, that's what I mean. That's part of what I just awesome. Love about this. Yeah, I you know, it makes sense. I'm curious though, from y'all's perspective, did that hit y'all as well? Like, I mean, I don't know. I don't ever think I'll get into kind of my two cents. I don't really ever fully see like super toxic fan bases in horror, from at least the limited a bit that I'm on Twitter. And maybe that's part of it, is that I'm just not on enough of those. But for the most part, I find most like horror fans are, you know, if they don't like something, I don't know. I don't necessarily see that they're like totally shitty about it. Wrestling fan bases, however, like people get super pissed, right? And just like if like their match doesn't end the exact way they want it to, they're, you know, so the wrestler they're cheering for isn't like, and even more so today. And I think it's because so many more people, everyone's just able to kind of talk about it, you know, just the normal social media griping, right? But I think also people just know how the sausage is made too much, right? So everyone kind of understands that, like, oh, this someone scripted it, so I'm really pissed about it. Do y'all kind of get that same sense with like horror films? And did the whole toxic fan base angry about the Stab 8 direction? That's why they're doing this. That, what did y'all think about that whole point?
I mean, I'm sure there's people out there. If you've been a fan of the, I mean, look at us. We ripped the last Halloween to shreds because we're like, that was not great. So not that we would ever become murderers over it. But I could see it. I could see people getting upset.
Yeah.
I don't know. I thought it was fucking stupid. I was like, because you don't like the way the sequels are going. That's like me saying, oh man, you know what? I've had it with Puppet Master. When The Littlest Right came out, that ruined. Who gives a shit? You're in the eighth movie? Come on.
Well, and that was what I was kind of driving to is I wonder, like, I'm sure there, to Lisa's point, I'm sure there are people that experience that, particularly if they're like people who put out the movie or in movies, right? That like get real, you know, people get real upset when like characters that people are attached to, something real dumb happens, right? You know, you think about movies where like, okay, great point, right? Think about the Game of Thrones backlash with Daenerys.
Sure.
Right. And I mean, look, if you've been reading the books, you've all known that's where this was going. Like no one should be shocked. But in the show, I mean, people were already like, well, the show is just fucking ruined because of the Mad Queen and all that change, right? Like, I mean, I guess this is just do people see this enough? I don't know. I mean, yeah, Nate, to your point, I mean, I think you and I stay off social media, and let's be honest, we only on occasion get like a the most we ever see that's toxic is like the 1-star review saying that, you know, we're too woke or something, which I always find funny. But I mean, I don't care.
They heard the episodes where Lisa's yawning recently. We're all tired. I don't know what the hell they're talking about. I'm so tired right now.
I don't know.
These people aren't getting it.
Yeah. I don't know. It's just interesting. All right. There's certainly some of that. I don't know how prevalent it is. I was curious how much that resonated with people and specifically with us three. I mean, I guess me and Nate, maybe not so much. Lisa, maybe,
I don't care. It's like, you suck. It's great. I don't know.
Well, okay. This maybe turned into a little more personal than I meant. I just meant like, did that, did that, did that, did that as a rationale, did that whole messaging and what they were the point, did that resonate with y'all at all?
I thought it was stupid, but okay. It's probably very relevant. So
And I guess I wonder, you know, Lisa, I mean, maybe your thought on this. I mean, I guess that's largely what's going to help you decide whether this movie's a smash hit or not. Right. Did you get that? And it resonated. You're like, holy shit. Yeah, they're absolutely right. People online are real fucking weird. And this is, you know, we obsess over these things too much. Or it's like what Nate says, stupid. And I don't understand.
I think y'all are being awfully rich for two people that have done a horror movie review podcast for 4 years.
What do you mean?
I wish we were rich.
I know, right?
I wish we were rich. What?
You can't say that there's not people out there that judge these movies constantly when that's all we've done for 4 years.
Well, but there's one thing about having an opinion versus being toxic about it, I think is the, like, okay, I didn't, look, I hate the movie. Oh God, well, there's a lot of them I hate, right? What's the one, The Suckling? I'm not going off sending like hate mail and, you know, horrible things online to the people that made it. I just said I don't like your movie.
So far, I don't think Mitch has killed anyone involved in this.
Thank goodness.
That's my guess. I mean,
keeping the streak. Keeping the streak.
He was watching Netflix. He said he was watching Netflix at one point when one of them got murdered. But
we won't know how toxic it could get unless I meet Robert Edgars, then we might find out.
It's only toxic when the restraining order against Nate gets dropped. I think that's when it's getting rough.
My lawyers say I'm in the clear. I don't know what you're
talking about.
Are you saying the restraining order says don't walk this way? Is that what you're saying, Mitch?
All right, well, there it is. That's what I've been waiting. I've been waiting for an hour for another Aerosmith quote.
I've actually snuck a couple in for the hardcore Aerosmith fans that you did not get.
But which one? I mean, Final Cut.
Go back and listen to all the Easter eggs of the Aerosmith references. Okay, I just got to get into this. There's a couple kills I want to highlight.
They're going to go back to your Easter eggs of the Aerosmith. Because
some of the kills I thought were good. There was a lot of face and neck work in this movie. 13 Reasons Why guy gets stabbed through the face. At the end, the boyfriend from The Boys, he gets stabbed through the face. Different angles, but same general face stabbing. Douchey guy in the bar gets like a weird, like just like a kind of like an in and out ice pick neck stab. There's a lot of head chops happening in this one. I didn't know if you guys.
Nate, forgive me if you already said this random tidbit, but the main killer guy, Jack Quaid, that's Dennis Quaid's son.
I did not reference it. I just, yeah.
Yeah. I thought that was interesting.
Does that make him better or worse in this movie?
Him and The Boys makes, he's part of the reason I was excited to see this movie. Cause I really like him in The Boys. So
he's also like way older than everyone.
Yeah. I mean, but I guess the older sister's older than them too.
She's 5 years older. She's 23.
Yeah. So
they're all supposed to be 18. Sense. And Jack Quaid is 30 almost. So
okay,
that actually is a throwback. I got a 27 year old playing like an 18 year old or something. That is kind of a throwback actually, so maybe not too bad.
Like in the movie he's supposed to be in his mid to late 20s.
Maybe she's an older guy. All right, that works out, I guess. Yeah. At least he's not supposed to be in high school, mercifully. But yeah, some of the kills were, I would say, fairly solid. A lot of just like trying to like just double clutch the hand down. Like a lot of people staring at a knife in like a battle of muscles to see if they can not get stabbed or not. That happened a lot. I was kind of surprised. It was interesting. I can't fault that part of it. I think the kills were all were, most of them were pretty solid, I would say. So yeah, okay. I don't know. Anything else you guys want to talk about? I mean, they shot the killer like 100 times. That was good. That Dewey, rest in peace, should have had the same idea. And he was the cop. I'm not sure. Maybe his forced retirement seems entirely justified in this film. Like, what are you even doing here?
Was there ever a single one of these where he was effective? I don't know. I mean, I guess he kind of kept people from getting killed.
He says in the movie, like, I've been stabbed 9 times. Like, that actually, that's like a cat. And then he had his 10th stab. Oh, and that's when he died. Oh, man.
Wow.
Wow. Okay. Dang. On that note.
Also, last point before we get into Final Cut. Has anyone ever gotten hospital security correct?
Hospital security is a loophole.
It's always the worst.
I mean, like Halloween, we just had it, but I don't think there's any movie where the hospital security is. Oh yeah, they did their job. Yeah, they did a Happy Death Day too.
Always the worst.
Just everybody. Yeah, yeah. It's Yeah, they never do it right. You're right. That's the incompetent coming back. The cops right, don't know what to do in hospitals. Like, I don't know.
We got to get into this rating because I feel like we're going to be all over the place.
I'm kind of excited about it, actually.
Well, let's get into it. Let's get into the final cut.
Final cut.
All right. Who wants to go first? You know,
Mitch, you should go first. You haven't gone first in a while.
You haven't gone first in forever.
Well, yeah, but
how dare you?
But I have the drop board and I don't want to.
Nope, it's got to be you.
So, I mean, I think I've laid out my kind of case. I think this movie works. You know, this movie is really for people who like the meta. Let's be real. I think this movie has a lot of humor. I think this movie, again, is really works at its best as sort of a love letter to Wes Craven. You know, I think it's really thoughtful in terms of how it highlights a lot of things that, I mean, a lot of his films are really sort of known for. You know, I do think that, you know, some of the actual, just the normal parts of the story itself, like all the commentary, all the extra Easter eggs, all of the stuff around the points they're trying to make, the rules, the requels, all that's great. It's just the problem really falls in. And I mean, the acting is largely good from everyone involved. I think largely it's just the actual story itself. You know, these specific characters are just, you know, so much time is spent on the meta stuff and on what they're trying to get across that not enough time was spent on actually really fleshing out any of these characters. And I think that's where it suffers, right? I mean, they're all basically stand-ins for the original movie, those same characters. And then we also have a lot of the same characters from the original movie coming in. It's part of the point, but I just don't think they did it as effectively as they could have. That said, I enjoyed it. I love Scream. I love Wes Craven. I am that audience they were going for, I think. And so I'm going to give this 7 out of 10 Ghostface Killers. Okay. I really liked it. I don't know. Who wants to go next? Nate, why don't you go?
Nate, I got to see what you say before I jump in.
Yeah. I don't know. The more time that goes on, the less I feel like I like sequels and the more I like your Bob and any of your A24 joint, not any of them. Some of them are bad. Go back to episode, was it 3? It Comes at Night, I think. They're not all good, but I mean, I'm liking those kind of movies more and more. To be honest, if I had to compare Scream to previous movie Rubber, oh man.
If you had
I think
to.
They're almost I think they're almost equally interesting, to be honest.
Wow.
Because I just there's just so many slashers and so many meta commentary movies. And again, well done. This is a well done movie. I mean, if you like Scream, this is a no-brainer. So I'm not saying I'm not saying anything against that, but for me, I'm starting to like those other movies a little bit more. The elevated ones. Even going back to the old school, I mean, I'd rather watch Oni Baba than watch this. Personally, I don't know. I'm going to give it a 5 out of 10.
All right, yeah. Elisa.
I'm gonna get 5 out of 10 stabs through the face.
Okay.
It's fine. It's good. I mean, look, it's not like a Conjuring 3 or a Halloween Kills. Let's not. It's not like that or anything. Don't get me wrong. If you like Scream, it's good. It is. I don't know. There's just, yeah, it's a slasher.
You don't have to defend it. It is what it is.
No scares. I don't know. I just, yeah, I don't know. I like the movies that take risks, and this movie is not doing that. It's playing it safe. So I'm going to play it safe with a 5, middle of the road.
Okay.
How much money did this one make?
It's like 140 some million or something. So.
Yeah, I think it's fine.
Yeah, they'll be okay.
They did exactly what they meant to do.
Yeah, exactly. Yep.
Yeah, I really liked it. Like I said, it's rare that I go see a movie that we don't do for the podcast.
Yeah.
And I was willing to go see this. So I think I really enjoyed for me, right, I don't want to be scared out of my mind. I was fine with it being a slasher, being meta, being jokey. You know, there's one particular scene where two of them go down to the basement and they're like, don't go to the basement alone. Okay, so we're going to go together.
Everyone's
and they get
the
down
basement.
There and it's like, yep. Oh, don't go down to the basement with someone you don't trust. Oh, but that's because I'm the killer. And for like half a second, they're like, oh my God, you're the killer. It's like, nah, I'm just joking. So it was the moments like that were good. And then, you know, bringing back the old cast is always good. Courtney Cox and Neve Campbell did a good job. So overall, I liked it. Good casting, good acting, I think. I feel like if this ends up on TV in a few years and we turn it on, I won't groan. So that's a plus for it.
High bar, no groaning.
I'd be like, eh, we'll watch it again. It's fine. So I'll probably agree with Mitch. I think I'm probably about a 7 out of 10. I think of some of the reboots and requels and sequels and whatever we've seen lately, this is probably one of the better ones of them. So. It was good.
Yeah. I mean, look, let's be real. We went through a bunch of fifths and this one clearly one of the higher rated ones. Right. I mean,
agreed. Yeah. I will agree on that. It might be a little harsh. I don't know. But yeah, in terms of fifths, oh man, it is. Fifth is tough. 3, you can get some highlights. I would say even a 4, but 5 is that was a wasteland. Of stuff. So yeah, I get it.
There you go. Nate, where can they find us?
As always, at TFM Massacre on Twitter, Texas Podcast Massacre everywhere else. Call with your, I guess, Puppet Master requests. 346-246-3143. Give us a 5-star review. Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Podcast Addict. If you have Spotify, send us a message, TX or Texas Podcast Massacre at gmail.com, and say, I'd give a 5-star review, but Spotify literally makes it impossible. You can do that. That's fine. If I have to watch Puppet Master, at least it's because someone picked it and I'm assuming it'll be better than Aftershock, but I could be wrong.
I would maybe not.
Pump the brakes on that.
Yeah, let's pump the brakes. As I don't remember what you gave Aftershock, why don't we just
pump it up? Yeah, no one remembers anything about that movie other than there was an earthquake and Eli Roth can't carry an entire film. Other than that, you will never remember anything about it.
I'm all right with that. Oh, goodness. All right. Well, look. This was a fun one. We will be back next week with a new movie. I don't know what it is. Nate's being weirdly secretive with the list lately.
No, I'm not. It's on the list right now. Don't.
Okay. To be fair, I don't go look at the list. And Nate just tells me what I'm supposed to watch and I go watch it.
I'm being secretive, but I don't look. Wait, what? Hold on.
You just haven't told me yet. Normally you tell me. Now I have, you're making me have to ask.
You're getting very jaded.
This is my toxic fan base coming out. You know,
you're living on the edge for sure.
I don't like how this list generation has come off, and I'm angry. And no, from all of us here at Texas Podcast Massacre, thank you so much for tuning in, and just keep telling yourself it's only a movie. Good night.